Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are wrestling with one of the most high-stakes, anxiety-inducing decisions anyone faces in higher education.
Picking a college major.
Exactly. Picking a major. It just feels like this huge, irreversible decision. It's the ultimate paradox of choice.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
You have hundreds of options. The pressure is just immense. And it's all fueled by this terrifying idea that if you make one wrong selection, you've doomed your career trajectory forever.
And that anxiety, I mean, it's totally understandable,
but
it really comes from, you know, two unhelpful extremes. You've got the life or death decision camp.
Right, the one that says you have to agonize over every single option.
Exactly. And then you have the complete opposite, the don't worry at all, just pick anything camp, which is just as unhelpful. The truth is somewhere in the middle.
And that's precisely our mission today. We want to stop treating the college catalog like it's some kind of high-stakes lottery and just streamline the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to unpack all of the options into three manageable general paths: STEM, liberal arts, and business. And crucially, we're going to look at the cold, hard data.
We're talking actual outcomes, starting salaries, and that really critical metric of long-term employment flexibility.
We're basically replacing a huge, overwhelming city map with just three major interstates.
A much clearer path forward, no matter what your final destination might be.
Okay, let's unpack this. So let's start with the framework from the source material. These three foundational paths. We've got STEM, liberal arts, and business.
Right.
If we're trying to mitigate risk and we're looking for some salary certainty, STEM science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, that's usually where the spotlight lands first.
It is. STEM is the path that's generally associated with rigor and, you know, the highest market demand. But it's really important to break down that umbrella.
Because the outcomes aren't all the same.
Not at all. They vary dramatically. So under science, you have the classic fields like astronomy, biology, chemistry.
The lab coat.
The lab coats, yes. Then technology includes things like computer science, software development, IT. Engineering covers all the specialties, mechanical, electrical, civil. And then you have pure mathematics and statistics.
And this is where the first really counterintuitive nugget from the research comes in. It's a big one.
Hmm.
You said STEM is the path for the highest salary certainty, but the data, it actually shows that not every STEM major is a guaranteed slam dunk. Why is that? What's going on there?
It's a structural issue.
Hmm.
And you could see it really clearly if you look at the most popular science field, biology.
Okay.
Our research shows that biology graduates, on average, earn less in their starting salaries than students who majored in sociology, psychology, even English.
Yeah, really? Wow. That flies directly against what everyone's been told for decades. How could a hard science like biology lag behind humanities majors right out of the gate?
It all connects to this idea of a terminal degree. A bachelor's in biology is, well, it's rarely a terminal career-ready degree.
It's a stepping stone.
It's a stepping stone. Exactly. Yeah. It's a prerequisite for professional schools, medical school, dental school, or maybe advanced research. That's where the real money is made.
Ah, I see.
Whereas a sociology or an English degree that can often translate directly into an early career job, like technical writing, marketing, HR roles that have clear entry-level salary benchmarks. The hard science just requires more school to pay off.
That makes perfect sense. So if biology is a potential risk because it needs more specialization later on, where does the highest certainty lie within STEM?
I'd say that would be technology and engineering. Computer science is highly respected. It's rigorous.
And engineering.
Engineering demands both serious hard skills, I mean, deep math and logic, and those essential soft skills for things like project management.
And we found data on that, right? About how hard it is to do online.
We did. It's one of the hardest fields to pursue remotely because that hands-on lab work is so necessary. Finding a good accredited online engineering degree is really difficult and usually prohibitively expensive.
And the connective tissue through all of this is mathematics. It's valuable everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Math is fundamental to every single branch of STEM. But what's fascinating here is its massive cross-domain value.
You mean in business?
Exactly. Graduates in pure math or stats often walk directly into jobs in quantitative finance, data science, or as actuaries. They get entry into the high-salary business world without ever taking a single accounting class.
Okay, so if STEM is the rigorous path aiming for salary certainty, but it demands that high specialization, let's pivot. Let's talk about the path that causes the most anxiety. Liberal arts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The one that gets a bad rap.
It really does. It's often derided as having low value, low salaries, and no clear job path.
And that perception is, you know, it's heavily influenced by anecdotes, not the actual statistical reality.
So what does liberal arts actually include?
It's really defined by three major groups. You have the humanities, so English, philosophy, languages, then the social sciences, psychology, history, sociology.
And the creative side.
And the creative arts, yes. Theater, music, graphic art.
And the research shows a pretty clear split in what's most popular, right?
It does. The vast majority, we're talking about 75% of liberal arts students major in the social sciences or in communications and creative fields.
So when people criticize the liberal arts major, that's what they're usually talking about.
They are. They're usually targeting those high volume fields that focus on communication, social dynamics, critical thinking.
But the thing is, if you possess genuinely strong communication and analytical skills, the degree itself shouldn't limit you.
It shouldn't. Yeah. And it doesn't have to. The degree title is really just the vehicle for getting those transferable skills.
Mm-hmm.
People with high creative talent or just exceptional communication skills often thrive because they bring something that, you know, technology can't easily replace.
So what's the challenge then?
The challenge for liberal arts majors is that their value proposition can be a little more abstract than I can code this or I can balance this ledger. They have to be better at selling their skills.
Okay, so finally, let's look at business. This one always feels like the Swiss Army knife of majors.
It really is. It's the most broadly appealing path, I think, just because of its sheer versatility. Business degrees offer specializations in finance, marketing, accounting, economics, leadership.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. And the biggest advantage isn't just the immediate job placement, it's the long-term utility.
Yeah, the foundational knowledge. It's not just about landing a high-paying job in corporate finance right away.
Oh.
It's learning how to prepare for a management position later in life, or understanding basic economics, or even just handling your own personal finances, like retirement planning.
That's absolutely right. For someone who might eventually want to run their own small business, or who just wants a reliable path to middle management, business administration provides a really general, useful education that applies no matter what industry you end up in.
So we've covered the three types of paths, but the question that's just hanging over all of this is...
if one actually pays.
Right. Which one provides the best market outcome? So let's get into the comparative data, the salaries, and the job market flexibility.
Okay. So we found data that suggests three pretty clear tiers for average starting salaries.
Let's hear them.
At the lowest end, typically around $40,000, you've got the general liberal arts majors.
Okay, 40,000.
Next up, you have business and pure math majors. They generally start around 50,000.
So a $10,000 bump.
Right. And then the highest tier, usually around $60,000 or even more to start, that belongs to technology and engineering majors.
So that salary data, it paints a pretty clear picture of, you know, risk and reward.
Exactly, a tiered system.
But I think the most important metric, the one that really gets at long-term career satisfaction and relevance.
The underemployment rate.
The underemployment rate, yes. The percentage of graduates working in jobs that are unrelated to their degree. This is the ultimate indicator of whether your education actually led directly to your profession.
And this is where the demands of the job market just become crystal clear. Technology, math, and engineering majors, they enjoy the lowest underemployment rate. It's tight. Right around 20%.
Because they're so specialized.
They're specialized and they hit the market ready to perform a specific function.
But the contrast is pretty stark.
It is. Business and liberal arts majors have an underemployment rate of approximately 50%.
50%, one out of every two.
One out of every two graduates from those fields ends up in a job that is not directly related to what they studied.
Okay, the 50% for liberal arts is maybe not surprising given the perception. But 50% underemployment for business majors, that's genuinely alarming.
It is.
If business administration is supposed to be this versatile foundational path, why are half the graduates not landing jobs in finance or HR or supply chain management?
What the sources seem to point to is that a general business admin degree is just. It's the most common one out there.
Yeah.
It produces a huge volume of graduates.
So there's a ton of competition.
A ton of competition for the same entry-level roles.
Hmm.
And when the market is flooded, employers can get picky. They start requiring specific training, like a certification in Salesforce or advanced Excel, even for basic business jobs.
And if the graduate doesn't have that specific skill...
they pivot. They pivot into roles that just require any college degree, like retail management or general sales. And that inflates that underemployment number.
So that completely reframes the discussion. It's not that the business degree is useless,
Not at all.
it's that the degree by itself is not enough for half the people who get it.
Precisely. And if we look at the extremes, the numbers become even more illustrative of market difficulty. The highest documented rates are for criminal justice at 63%.
63%.
And then performing arts takes the top spot at a staggering 73%.
Wow. Okay. Why so high for criminal justice? That feels like a very directed professional field.
It does. But criminal justice often prepares you for more theoretical or administrative roles. Landing a job as a police officer, an FBI agent, or a parole officer requires passing specific exams, completing academies, meeting strict government hiring protocols.
Things that are separate from the degree itself.
Entirely separate. The degree gets you through the door, sure, but the hiring process is the real barrier, and it forces a lot of graduates into adjacent but unrelated fields.
That data shows so clearly that some degrees specialize you right into a career, while others give you a broad skill set that almost demands that you pivot once you hit the job market. Which leads us to strategy. How can you maximize your options and reduce your risk, especially if you're looking at one of those majors in the 50% underemployment categories?
I think one of the clearest strategic recommendations we found to the sources is pursuing multiple majors.
Double majors or stacking minor.
Exactly. It's your best defense against market shifts or, even just your own preferences changing over time.
It's the ultimate more bang for your buck strategy.
It is. If you can manage it without adding a lot more time or debt, stacking credentials lets you balance a passion with more marketable skills. We found some really popular
Like
examples,
what?
like pairing a foundational math degree with a computer science minor. Employers love that. Or combining a general business degree with a concentration in liberal arts or communications.
So you could build a path where you combine, say, mathematics with computer science, or even do a dual track like business and communications, just knowing that you're hedging your bets against getting too specific.
It's just smart risk mitigation. And it also speaks to the value of a general degree.
A general degree, how so?
Well, the main advantage of something like a general business or an interdisciplinary studies degree is that it avoids pigeonholing you too early. Predicting what jobs will exist in 5 or 10 years it's impossible.
And since the data shows half of people pivot anyway,
Exactly. Why over-specialize from day one?
that raises a really critical point about timing. Should you specialize heavily in college, or is it better to get a general degree and then specialize afterward with certifications or other training?
Well, specializing in college obviously saves time and gets you those higher starting salaries we talked about. But post-graduation specialization isn't just common, it's often mandatory.
Even for the specialized degrees.
Even for the specialized
Give
degrees.
us an example.
Okay, take a computer science degree. You've mastered the theory, which is great, but you might still need a few months of intensive training on a specific coding language or a software framework like AWS or React. Just to meet your specific employer's immediate needs.
So you're not quite job ready, even with the CS degree.
Not always. Or another one, if you have a general IT degree, moving into a high-demand field like cybersecurity or data analysis absolutely requires external certifications that you get after you graduate.
So really, the college degree is the foundational membership card. It gets you into the specialized job market, but the actual job-specific skills are often learned quickly on the job or through short, targeted training programs.
That is the core philosophy we want you to walk away with. Don't overthink the degree choice as the final answer. Even a general business degree doesn't limit you. Employers know that new skills can be acquired quickly.
They budget for it.
They budget for it. Most organizations expect to spend 2 to 3 months on specific training for any new hire, no matter what their degree was. The point is to get a degree that proves you can think critically and solve problems.
This has been incredibly clarifying. We've walked through the three primary paths: STEM, liberal arts, business, and we've really analyzed the salary and flexibility data that goes with them. That alone should reduce the stress of having too many options.
And just a quick note to acknowledge the important exceptions to this.
Sure.
We're not really talking about professions that require very specific regulated education and licensing. Things like plumbing, teaching, nursing, law.
Right, those have their own dedicated tracks.
They do. They operate outside this general framework. But for the vast majority of white-collar and knowledge worker jobs, these three categories apply.
Okay, so let's wrap this up with the ultimate takeaway. The one number that completely reframes this entire argument about choosing a major and should, hopefully, let everyone listening just breathe a massive sigh of relief.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the most profound piece of data comes from a Federal Reserve Bank of New York study. And that study found, pretty conclusively, that your major does not limit your future career path.
Because
only 27% of college graduates work in fields that are closely related to their majors.
Only 27%? That's astonishing.
It is.
So that means a staggering 73% of people pivot. They work in something loosely related, or they move into a field that's completely different from what they studied.
73%.
So if nearly 3/4 of graduates pivot away from their exact major, how much time should you really spend agonizing over the first step, the specific label on your diploma,
right,
versus focusing on getting those foundational transferable skills that are useful everywhere, like advanced math, data analysis, and strong communication?
The initial choice is simply about proving you can complete a rigorous intellectual task. Focus on general competence, on critical thinking, on mastering communication. The doors will open later, no matter what title is on your diploma.
We really encourage you to explore the provided sources to dive deeper into some of the specific salary and underemployment data by major. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.